So then the sound, which exists eternally in space, becomes manifest inwardly also. Ecstasy, illumination, restfulness, fearlessness, rapture, joy, and revelation are the effects of this. To some it manifests of itself, to others when they are in a negative state caused by weakness of body or mind. To neither of these is it a benefit, but on the other hand, it causes them to become abnormal. So you don't want to get so far out there that there's also an out of balance there. And one could observe that. Am I in that state? Am I abnormal in some way? You know, that's why in the beginning he said the silent life also becomes active. And I can assure you that many people on the spiritual path can get very out of balance by going too much in seclusion, by doing too much meditation, by doing too much reading, too much reflection. That must also be balanced with activity. I've heard my Lama tell people that many times. Not too much. Everything in balance. One can become too withdrawn, and also that can become an abnormality. Does that make sense to people? And so, His Holiness talks about it, and also Hazar Nai Khan, he didn't create monasteries for us. He gave us practices, but very practical things that we can use in our life. This wasn't meant to go into seclusion and sit long periods in meditation. Hidayata Nai Khan, his son, will tell us that also. These are practices that are very practical. You can use them in your everyday life. They may sound not practical to you, but the more you study, the more you will understand the nature of this and the usefulness. But too much silence or too much inactivity can create a kind of compression inside too. And there has to be a balance with exercise perhaps, or daily activity, even cleaning the house and doing normal menial tasks are very useful. We can use the energy for that. So just a little bit more here. And then it says, this sound only elevates those who open themselves to it by the sacred practices known by the mystics. So just a little bit more, and then we're going to do a practice. The sound of earth and water commingled has a tenderness and delicacy. The sound of earth and fire produces harshness. The sound of earth and air has strength and power. The sound of water and fire has a lively and animating effect. The sound of water and ether has a soothing and comforting effect. The sound of fire and air has a terrifying and fearsome effect. Thunder. Okay. The sound of fire with ether has a breaking and freeing effect. The sound of air with ether produces calm and peace. So he's giving us instructions here of these elements and how to use the elements within our very being to balance ourselves, to bring about a greater wholesomeness, you might say. So would you like to do the practice? Okay. You will notice that there is a similar pattern to the breathing that we did in the purification breaths. However, with this one, I'm going to give you a little more instruction. And I'll tell you why. First of all, we'll be concentrating on a color. We'll be visualizing the color before us as this light, a brilliant light in the form of color. As we breathe in, we'll be breathing in through various points. I'll just talk you through, and then we'll go through one by one. The first point is earth. The color is a yellow golden color. It's not metallic, but you can kind of see that color there. And then that breath, we're actually doing a physical kind of exercise as well. Our eyes are closed, or you can kind of... I've lost the term. Shade the eyes if you need to check yourself. But our glance is going to be towards the tip of the nose. Now that has a very certain effect on this nerve that comes up through the bottom of the spine up to the head. When we just try it. Look, you can either do it eyes slightly open, you'll go kind of go a little cross-eyed, or if you can concentrate and draw your eyes downward to your nose. Can you tell me, do you feel a sensation anywhere in your body? And what does it do to the physical body when you do that? Would anyone like to share? And you might want to open your eyes and just go to a kind of a soft glance, and then close your eyes again and cast your glance down towards the tip of the nose. See what happens. Observe. Observe your physiology, your mind, emotions. Did you feel anything? Experience anything?
Stress.
You felt stress?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a neurological stress going through the whole body.
Really? Okay. Is it stress or is it a kind of pressure?
Yeah, pressure.
Okay. Anyone else?
For me, it's a gentle spin that becomes a pointed focus.
Okay. And is it coming up? It's, you're sort of pointing, you're doing this with your hand, arising.
Mm. Not quite up the spine, but almost.
Uh-huh.
And then it doesn't circle the head, but it goes through the head and circles the third eye. And
Okay, good. Anyone else? Patty, I saw you making a...
I felt like a hood comes over, kind of like a... Yeah, like the cobra comes, and then the attention comes here and feels sort of powerfully focused here.
Good.
Then
Earth.
Everything else disappears. You go to
yeah.
But you can feel it in here.
You can feel, I feel it in here. I certainly feel something moving. You may observe that. I'm telling you that because if it happens and you're alone and you feel it, you know you're not, you know, having a cerebral hemorrhage or something. It's the energy moving, you know, to be aware of it so that one can experience it and observe it and not be alarmed by it. All right, so that's of the earth element, and we'll be given instructions about breathing in and concentrating at the tip of the nose. The next element is water element. It's here at the bridge of the nose. The color, as in the teaching, is a green color. Now, it's... do we see that color anywhere in the room?
Your sweater?
It's a little... It could be a little bit like this. It's lighter and brighter and maybe has a tinge of turquoise towards it. I should get a color chart someday. Yeah, it's like kind of like that color, but again, it's a little brighter because we're observing it in light.
Is it like David's pen?
It's kind of... Yes, it is very much like David's pen. Let's look at... But it's brighter and lighter. It's like this, but it's a little lighter color. You know, it's again, it's in light.
What about the green thing?
That's a little too grass green, but it's close. You could... perceive that color. I love you two so much. I know. So now we're going to concentrate our glance here at the bridge of the nose and just breathe there. And almost as if you're breathing through that center. You're breathing through the nose, obviously, but you're breathing. The perception is that you're breathing in through that center, that color green. And the eyes are kind of there. Glancing at that place at the bridge of the nose. and again. I mean, these things are, we don't have to spend a lot of time. It teaches the mind and the body and the consciousness to be agile. So again, any effect, anything that was observed through that practice.
I actually felt a little dizziness.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At first, and then I kind of breathed through it.
Good.
Kind of
That can happen, just so you know. Sometimes when the energy starts to move, there could be a feeling of dizziness. Sometimes even a little bit of a nausea can come. You just breathe into it. Know that it's just the energy moving. It's nothing bad. It's actually a very good sign. Anyone else? Yes, Richard.
There was that slight sensation of vertigo momentarily, but also a sensation of like all the windows in my head opening up and just air just going right through the back of my head.
Yeah.
And then in all directions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And what actually is happening is that from a physical point of view, kind of the base from the tip of the nose, the base of that nerve gets stimulated. So that's why people are, it's kind of opening up the energy and people are having that sensation. From here, it kind of corresponds to the pituitary gland. It's kind of the very center of the head, okay, where the pituitary gland is, which is really great because if we can stimulate that, you know, that's kind of the fountain of youth. You know, that's why so many mystics and yogis have these very vital, fit bodies, and they seem to be ageless, strong voices, and, you know, they're also very calm and centered. You know, they're stimulating that gland. Okay, now, the next one is...
Surprisingly enough, I felt something in the solar plexus.
You did.
Which I have no idea why, and I sure didn't expect it, but as well as the other...
You like felt that little, here and here?
Then all of a sudden there was a little bit of an
release.
Opening.
I think that they're kind of corresponding. You know, this is like base,
mm-hmm.
earth, think.
Mm-hmm.
Water would be here,
mm-hmm.
like the sacral plexus. Fire is solar plexus. Air is heart.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I think that there's the corresponding chakra, so to speak, or energy center. So I think that that's, yeah, well, it validates again the experience. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So then the next element is fire. And it's going to be here at the third eye, the center of the forehead.
Okay.
So we're going to breathe in a vibrant red, and it may have different varying shades of red, like a flame. And we're breathing, we're just going to just breathe normally. There'll be specific exercises for breathing and directions. But for just now, I just want you to concentrate. The glance goes to the center of the forehead. And we're breathing in there, this red. We allow it to be absorbed through that center. Again, any observations or experiences? Anyone have any sensations, experiences, observations? Richard, how about you?
Not so much of a sensation, but an awareness of energy in the throat, actually, is where I started to register.
Huh. Okay.
But not immediately, but down the stretch.
Uh-huh. I might keep observing that, see what's kind of... Anyone else? No? Maybe you?
It's my favorite center.
I know.
It's like real subtle fireworks and mm-hmm. almost a halo. kind of feeling an aura around the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It opens up the kind of doorways of inner knowing or perception there, the fire element, the third eye, the inner eye.
Kind of a head rush.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And sometimes there's a concentration of energy that comes to the forehead. Some of the other concentration is there's a stimulation that rises up or through the head, but this may bring it to the front. So just, if it doesn't happen in time, you'll notice these kinds of things. So I draw your attention to it only as indications so that if it does happen, you say, oh, that's what's happening. So the next one is air. It's at the crown. I love that, the crown. We cast the glance upward very high as if we're looking at the inside of the skull, and there we see a sky blue. And as we breathe in, we absorb that color in the form of light through the center. Again, I take a moment here to invite you to say something if you had any kind of that experience or sensation.
I felt like Jodie Foster in Contact.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a beautiful experience. It starts to make us feel sort of a unitive state, which I think is what you're describing.
A particular area of the crown connects with what they call them in Qigong or Taoist practices, the central Qi channel, which doesn't run down the spine but right through the middle of the body. And so it connects what would relate to all seven major chakras in the body, but in a different way than the kundalini moving up and down the spine. And it tends to make my stomach growl and get hungry and want to put in energy.
Yeah. I heard a few other stomachs growling when we were doing that, by the way. But, you know, I see the breath as not necessarily moving up and down the nerve of the central spine, but it is, you know, we get so fixated on the physicality of it. To me, it's like I see the breath moving through that central channel. And what it does is it's as if light is moving through that channel. And when it goes through those different centers, it kind of sends out a little signal. And it gets them all sort of vibrating or spinning in this kind of rainbow of color, which is so beautiful because each one of those correspond to a color as well. So now there is one more element, and that is the etheric element. And I want to kind of just give you this, you're doing so very well grasping this practice, and then we'll use the breath in a very deliberate way. But this one is, if you can imagine this beautiful orb of light about an arm's length above your head, and even far, far above that into infinity, as if there's a shaft of light shining through this orb. And when it hits the orb, it becomes very brilliant, and you see this orb of light. It may appear to you, and sort of see what you may think is your imagination, but I would call it your mind's eye is observing. Is that orb of light brilliant white? Or it may have a tint of kind of a misty gray or blue or lavender, and you may also perceive within it kind of rainbows of light, because remember, the etheric element is the absorption and the disbursement of all the elements. So when all of the elements in their form of light combine, those of us that are artists or even work with the computer, you know that when the colors combine, they make pure white light. So you may in fact see it as white light, but you might see it in its in their unique manifestations as well. But at any rate, the light shines from above, comes through this orb, and it sort of disperses in this cascade of light through your whole being. Every cell becomes illuminated, and it also showers down over your physical body. I love this quote of Shahabuddin Sawardi, a great Sufi mystic, and he talks about being clothed in a robe of light. It's kind of like that, being clothed in a robe of light. So the glance is high, now it's piercing through the skull, looking up, concentrating on this light from above. Again, I take a break here to ask you if you would like to share.
This is where it's very clear to visualize a crystalline faceted structure with all sorts of refractive prismatic light coming out of it.
That's your visualization. That's good. Others may have that as well. May be different for each person.
Did you? Fountain-like sense. It's kind of what you said about they like, just sort of, and then just sort of kind of this feeling that sort of runs down.
Yeah. In India, you see a lot of that kind of imagery. But, you know, this is the halo.
Mm-hmm.
You see? I mean, we actually have that. That's not some sort of... Everyone has that. It may be duller and closer to the head, or it could be quite brilliant, but you can see where this practice would develop that. I had a student of mine say to me the other day, you know, you just sparkle. And I thought, well, that's so interesting that she would say that, you know? It was like, I said... Well, that's because I meditate on light. And she goes, you meditate online? And I said, no, I meditate on light. But it could be online too, you know. But it was so interesting that she would say that, because a lot of the practices focus on light. And, you know, she felt that somehow. You know, you just sparkle. Where does that come from? Do you know what I'm saying? It was like, oh, thank you. But, you know, that also they feel that kind of radiance. When we do the practices, it benefits others. It really is not just for ourselves. It's to gain clarity, so that, as the teaching said, that the body becomes the fit instrument. And it's not that we're special in any way at all. We're actually quite ordinary. But it is a beautiful thing when an ordinary being can experience that radiance and then can offer it back. I inhale divine light and life, and I radiate the same.
And it's not special in the sense of where the ego wants to make everything special, either overtly or subtly. So it's very humbling. Not humiliating, but humbling. Very, very different energies.
Yeah.
And before you described the light, it was turning into... like a very bright mother of pearl.
Mm-hmm, beautiful. Yeah, exactly.
Then the sensation just leapt up to where the light was and observed me from above. So it felt like I was being observed by that light.
Mm-hmm.
I could see from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. And Hazard and I Kant talks about that, that the higher that we can go, in a sense... It's not like we're going up and out, but it is as if the consciousness expands. And as it expands, it gets a larger view of things. We're not so limited in our perspective. I think it's extraordinary that we can be here together. I think it's such a precious gift. I've been on the phone with three people in just this week who have found us through the website or a website, and they're alone. They're alone in other parts of the country without people to sit with and meditate with and share with. And so thank God, in a way, yeah, we're meditating online. They're finding us, and they can have these conversations. They're so hungry to have someone to share this inner life with. And I think how wonderful it is that we can have this time here together and help each other to develop in these practices. And we should always remember how fortunate we are indeed, and offer that to others, and know that we're, through God's grace, perhaps offering a helpful vibration to people like that, who don't have these opportunities, that can't find a group of people to be with, to share with. It's really very touching to me, you know, how much people are really searching, that they would be so bold as to send an email to a stranger or make a phone call, but they really need that contact. And here we have it. Of course, we had to come through snow and ice and wind and rain or whatever. Did you say no heat? No, but what did you say?
Rain or sleet, no, or ugly snowstorm.
Keep me away. So there you go. It's like I hear Diana Ross and the Supremes. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you. It's a very special song. Very special song. Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't want to say too much.
Please don't. I never would say too much.
When we work with this level of practice, and I think this is true a little more with men than with women, there's a backup of energy that can get caught in the third eye area.
Uh-huh.
And it can cause a pretty intense headache. And so if any of you are having a headache that feels a little different than a normal headache, it feels like a pressure, just a feeling of not quite right, and even some people get a feeling of like a helmet down over their head. If you just touch the bridge of your nose and run your fingers up to your hairline 3 times, and then lay your hand on top of your crown, and use your wrist as a hinge, and just open. Mm-hmm. And then move your hand away. The energy will go ahead and go up and go out. You won't get drained. You'll just get balanced. These are such powerful practices.
They are. And I appreciate you saying that, because actually I also have that experience sometimes. If I'm leading retreats on the weekend, sometimes, I mean, Joe knows and Bria, they travel with me, and sometimes I can wake up with a serious migraine. So, and I know I have to sit, and I didn't ever do this, but I know I have to open this up so the energy can just sort of be released, because it's what I call a crown chakra migraine, you know. So thank you for that, because it's very helpful.
And when you use your fingers from that point up past your third eye, it just moves the energy up, mm-hmm. and then it goes out the crown real easily.
Wonderful. That's very useful. Thank you so much.
I have a question. Is that, you say particularly none, is it because of like constipation in the left brain kind of stuff?
No. Much to my surprise, after many, many years of working with people on their psychic ability, I found out that men are a lot more psychic than women. We're not taught that. We're taught the opposite. But men are so sensitive psychically that they shut down because they get overwhelmed. And so that you're just more vulnerable. My female ego didn't like that at all. But I had a couple of students at one time, two men, who came to me after the second of 10 classes to say that they had never felt less psychic in their whole life than in my class. And I had, you know, I had to figure out why that was. And that's what spirit led me to, and then observing men for years. Especially if you have a woman partner who's very strong psychically, you can just get totally kind of your psychic sense can go blind and deaf if you don't clear out and clear out. It's just, I guess the constipation is a good image.
Got your answer?
And more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why, in terms of when we're talking about psychiatric illness and Chinese medicine, I'm a Chinese medicine practitioner, there's a much higher propensity for men to become schizophrenic, and I think it's because they're taught culturally to shut that down so much and have it repressed that they don't develop their filters, and there's a very fine line between being psychic and psychotic. And I've met a number of men who were both because they hadn't had the cultural training and opening of their filters and discernment with those filters to be able to be transmedium, and it becomes an illness. It transmutes into a negative way. And it can help by opening up their psychic abilities to help them deal with their psychiatric experiences.
Well, I might share something about that. Mm-hmm. In our culture, what the tribe does with the irritating psychic young man is they go, oops, we need to do something about this. And the parents put a helmet on his head and throw him out in the football field.
Mm-hmm. So he can bash his head around a little bit.
Yeah.
Or play soccer and bounce it off. He's beaten up.
Sure. Well, just the
violent things.
Yes, the whole symbology of, you know, you need to go do that warrior thing for the tribe. Put the helmet on, and kids get their little concussions, and yeah, it gets stuffed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I said it's not extraordinary. It's quite a matter of, you know, the nobility of the soul that has the capacity to speak soul to soul and heart to heart and mind to mind. You know, we're talking about vibration. So we'll begin the practice. Or I should say continue the practice. So we'll concentrate at the tip of the nose. And there we see this beautiful golden, like a brown gold, but vibrant light just in front of the tip of the nose. The eyes are cast downward. The breath is in the nose and out the nose. This is the element of earth. Now, typically, we would be given an instruction to breathe in a rhythmic way, but the space, to me, feels as if we will find that synchronicity. So we will not be interrupted with the counting. Just breathe in the nose and out the nose. Anyone in their private practice may want to know the rhythm. It is into a count of four and out to a count of six. And you may just kind of do that inwardly, breathing into the count of four and out to the count of six. In the nose and out the nose. Eyes cast to the tip of the nose. The color is beautiful golden light that we're absorbing through the tip of the nose into the whole body, filling. can use this earth element. It's a kind of medicine. The blessing of the earth element is that it offers us stability. It offers us support. It is our ground. So at times when we feel a little scattered or fragmented in some way or spacey, we can use the earth to offer us stability. Earth is also confidence. When we're in the earth element and we feel the earth element, we feel confident and strong and capable. So breathe in this beautiful golden light in the nose and out the nose and invoke that element within your being. Your breath is an invocation. It's a prayer. It's a calling forth of the earth element. And the earth element is our very body. Then if you will move to the water element, you cast the glance to the bridge of the nose. There we see this beautiful shade of green. Not quite a pure green and not quite a pure blue. It's a kind of aqua color, but with a hint more of green to it. Vibrant light there before the bridge of the nose. The breath is in the nose and out the mouth. Like a breathing in and then a cascading down of the water element. So you see it's a downward motion in the nose and out the mouth. Again, the eyes are concentrated at the bridge. A color of that element enters through the bridge of the nose as we breathe in and infuses our body as we breathe out. Element of water. In the nose and out the mouth. So this water element, think about it. Water has the capacity to move around any obstruction with great grace and ease. It is the element of accomplishment, so using the water element when we wish to accomplish something and bring movement to it, we can breathe in and out the water element. Now allow your glance to go to the forehead. And there before the forehead we see this orb of brilliant red light. We breathe in the mouth and out the nose. The motion now is rising, ascending like fire, flames sort of rising up. The breath is in the mouth, out the nose. The eyes are cast at the third eye. The color is red. Breathing in the nose, the breath rises. In the mouth, and the breath rises out the nose. So while earth corresponds to the body, water corresponds to the emotions, tears in the eyes, the overflowing of the heart, and fire corresponds to aspiration, aspiring, reaching upward. It corresponds to illumination, light. So that part of us that desires to reach for something greater than our limited self. Aspiring. And then the next breath is the element of air, and we cast our glance to the crown. And there we see blue, like clear blue sky, blue light. And we breathe in the mouth and out the mouth. It's as if space is expanding in all directions. It is said that the direction of air is a zigzag. Some people may perceive it as a kind of spiral. So again, the breath is in the mouth and out the mouth. The glance is high, as if looking at the crown on the inside, from the inside of the head. The color is blue. Breathe in the color through that center. Let it infuse your being on the exhalation. This is the element of inspiration, of creativity, the element that is said to associate with the mind. It's said to be the element of poets, writers, artists. It's this very expansive state, all-pervading space. And should we need inspiration and creativity, this is the element to invoke. Breathe this breath and let the mind become loose and open. Now the final element, we cast the glance up through the crown up high above the head. There we see the fashioning of the etheric element. For some it will be an orb of light, for others it will be a crystalline structure. Each one in their own way will see this element, perceive it. And we also might see the flashing of the various colors, because in truth it is the culmination and also the disbursement of all the elements dancing together. And the breath is in the nose and out the nose, like we began. We're closing the circuit, but now the element is very refined, and the breath becomes extremely refined. Imagine as one having sat in meditation in a high mountainous place. Imagine the refinement of that breath. Or the subtlety and the beauty of the refinement of a baby deep in sleep, a newborn who is so refined, so peaceful. Allow the light to flow down through your being and all around it. This is the place of union, where human and divine co-mingle as one. In the nose and out the nose. think this is a good time for us to offer the merit of this gathering. We will have a... I know some of you may feel compelled to leave. Please feel free to do what you need to do. We will have some hot tea and some snacks for you if you'd like to stay. If anyone has any questions, we can kind of continue the conversation. I think we should dedicate the merit. It's a very beautiful practice that we just shared, and may we offer it for others' benefits. And as I said, you're welcome to stay. We have a little collection basket. We have many projects that we work on, and if you'd like to offer something, we'll be sure that it gets passed on in a good way to those that need it. If this gathering today has been of benefit, we pray and we offer it with great devotion for the benefit of all sentient beings. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings reside in the great equanimity, free from passion, aggression, and ignorance.